to tell you a story about a young girl and her boyfriend. They met in high school. And just as any young relationship, they enjoyed their relationship. They enjoyed getting together with their friends, going to movies and going to the restaurants and hanging out and just doing all different types of activities. As we probably all remember that early dates we had with a girl or with a boy and just how exciting those times were. And this couple was no different. They were enjoying each other's relationship. They had known each other for years in school, but as things would work out, they decided to begin to date. And it wasn't too long after they started dating that all of a sudden the young lady realized she was pregnant. At a very young age, they made a mistake. Before getting married, they decided to have relations together. And they knew that they were going to have to tell their parents and how hard that would be. So each of them went to their parents and told them what had happened. And so there was a meeting. I don't know if you ever heard of this, but there's a meeting of the families, the moms and the dads on either side get together, and the young couple sitting on the couch while the two sets of parents are discussing their children's futures. Now they're young, they're in high school. They have a whole life ahead of them, and the decision was made for them that they would abort their child because both of them were still in school, and there was no way they were going to be able to raise a child. And so, because this girl was, young and she was in school, they decided to send her away to her aunt's house, several hours away from where she lived and from her school. And so in the time that she was there, her aunt kind of noticed that she was kind of sad. And she asked her and she said, why, what's going on? What's going on in your mind? What's happening? Why are you sad? And she's like, I just don't like the idea of what's about to happen. And her aunt looked at her and said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep your baby? And this woman looked at her aunt and said, no one ever asked me what I wanted to do. The parents had made the decision. And the aunt said to this woman and looked at her face and says, honey, if you want to keep your baby, that's a choice that you can make yourself. And that woman chose to keep that child. That 18-year-old girl was my mother. And the child within her belly was yours truly. So needless to say, I'm very thankful that my mother made that decision. I'm very thankful she made the tough decision because, in the mid-60s, having a child at that age was certainly frowned upon. And I'm just thankful to her aunt who noticed her condition and gave her the strength and the ability to say, it's your decision. These are hard decisions in life, are they not? These are hard things to deal with. But it's like those decisions need to be made. And I, again, am very thankful. I'm sure there's people in my life that, never mind, won't say that. I'm thankful that my mom made that choice. And growing up, I want you to know, I never knew that we didn't have that much as we grown up. My dad worked at the same job from the age of 18 to the age of 58 when he retired. And my mom was home with us as we were young kids and raised us, and we had a blast. And so I never knew of want as a kid, always provided, always had a loving family. Now, they weren't perfect. They had their mistakes. I wasn't perfect either. And so we deal with these things in life, and we need to be thankful for the choices that we make because God can bless them. And maybe you are up against a big decision in your life, and it's against all odds. You don't know what the decision to make. Ask the Lord to help you make the right decision, to make the right choice. My mom made the right choice. You see, a mother's love for her children runs very deeply, doesn't it? You moms know. It runs very deeply. It overcomes any trials, any difficulties, any haphazards. I mean, with social media today, you can watch people grow up with their kids and all the crazy thing the kids do. Man, I'm glad there aren't pictures of me of doing some of the stupid things I did when I was a kid. Lainey Crowder, you're amazing when you put that stuff on the internet. Yeah, yeah. The mud thing was pretty cool. I got to tell you, that I really like. Oh, boy. Our family was small, and I ended up having a younger brother. But we had such a loving family. We had a loving mom and dad. And I know for some of you in this room, maybe you're thinking of your parents, and maybe you didn't have that. But that doesn't neglect the fact that your parents love you. That doesn't neglect the fact that God loves you. We all have moms. We all have dads, good or bad. Mother's Day is a time to celebrate the idea of mothers and the love of a mother. For those of you in this room that are mothers, you know a love that many of us in this room don't know if we're not moms. It's as close to unconditional love as I think God can give to any human being. And I think it's a powerful thing. So today we celebrate moms, we remember them, and we honor them. And that's why I have you in Proverbs chapter 31. I know that this idea of this woman seems so perfect, and many of us think, oh, how can we achieve this? It's not a list of things that you must achieve. It's a reminder of your need for God. And I only want to look at a section of it. We're going to pick up in Proverbs 31, verse 25, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. Proverbs 31, verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So several things I want us to see here. And number one, as we look at this, I mean, the description of this woman starts in verse 10 and goes all the way to the end. And this woman's an amazing woman. She's very busy, she's very active, she's very successful, and she does a lot of things. But the focus and the key to all of this is found in verse 30, where it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. The first and foremost thing any Christian, any human being, any believer should have is faith in God, fear in the Lord. That word fear means awe. It means to actually be in wonder of God. Have you ever taken a moment to just sit and consider the awe-ness and the awesomeness and the wonder of God Almighty? To really believe that He has the power to do anything and to move anything in your life and do anything in your life. To truly fear His name, to love Him that much. And this Proverbs 31 woman had fear in the Lord. Her faith was very strong in God. And that is the first and foremost thing that we must have and we must see in the lives of women. See, a mother's love comes from the Lord, right? Listen, every mother on the face of the planet, when they have a child, there's an immediate connection with that child. Okay, there's an immediate emotion that is connected to that. But wouldn't you agree, those who believe in God and those who believe in the miracle of childbirth given by God have a greater love for their children? Have a deeper love for their children because they believe that this child is not only a blessing to them, but is something, is a gift from God? It takes it to a greater level. So that the faith of a Christian mom is so very important. Because I believe faith, listen, faith, a mother's love is enhanced by her faith. A mother's love is enhanced by her faith. The only reason we love, truly love, is because He first loved us, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? The only reason we have the capacity to love is because of God's love for us and the ability to love, because the world's love is not a real love. It's a love that has stipulations with it. It's a love that has standards that must come along with it. I will love you as long as you keep doing these things, right? Well, not for the Christian. Sometimes we love what? Our enemies. Sometimes we love those that are unlovable because of God's love for us. So faith in God helps us to love others. And faith in God helps you have a love for your child that goes beyond their behavior. Amen? Lainey, right? Still love your son, even though he threw mud all over your house. When your child does something dumb or does something silly, you still love them. You still care for them. Your enemy does that, and you don't want to hang around them anymore. No, love is there. See, to me, there's nothing better on a woman than her love for the Lord. There's nothing greater. Don't get me wrong. I love when my wife puts on a hot-looking dress. I can't. I'm going there. And when she puts that red lipstick on, look out. But you know what I love more than all that? Her relationship with God. Her love for Jesus. Her commitment to live her life honoring God. Is she perfect? No. Hey, I didn't bring that up. You did? No. No one is perfect. But when someone loves the Lord, when someone is passionate about God, it's so much greater. It's so much more important. So moms, I'm going to encourage you today, if anything in your life, love Jesus. Like the Bible says, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, love the Lord. It is very appealing to others. It is going to be very appealing to your children because of your passion for Christ. And that's so very important. Have love for Jesus. And certainly isn't that true for all of us? To love Jesus. Now, the Bible says a couple other things about this idea of fear of the Lord. Several other places in the scriptures it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Another place it says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe moms need a lot of wisdom and they need a lot of knowledge. They need to know how to deal with situations in life. And your fear, your faith in God, your awe in God gives you the ability to tap into that wisdom, how to train up your children. The Bible says, train up your children the way they should go. Did they come with a manual that says this is the way they should go? No, they did not. So you need God's wisdom and you need God's knowledge in fear of Him, in love of Him, in faith of Him to show you how to train up that child. If you desire that, you need to ask for that wisdom. And I love the fact that James tells us in his book, if any of you lacks wisdom, what? Ask God, and He will give it to you freely. When you get to that point in your life, at any point, when you go, I need some wisdom here. I need to understand something. You need to ask God, God, give me wisdom. That verse goes on to say, but don't let him doubt. Let him believe in faith. Because if he doesn't have faith and if he doubts, don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. So when you say to God, Lord, I need wisdom right now. I need to understand what's going on in my child's life so that I can train them up in the way they should go. You ask God for that wisdom. Do you believe that Solomon was the most wise person in the world? That's what the Bible says. One of the most amazing pictures in the Bible is Solomon has two women come to him. They've each had babies. One of their childs died, and the other one lived. And the two women were arguing as to whose baby it was. It's an amazing story. And so the women come to King Solomon and says, that's my baby. One woman says, the other one says, no, that's my baby. And King Solomon says, okay, I got an idea. Cut the baby in half, give half to one and half to the other. One of the moms goes, go ahead, do that. That's great. The other mom says, no, don't do that. Let the other woman have the baby. And that's how Solomon determined whose child it was, the one who wanted to keep the child alive. To me, that's just an amazing amount of wisdom. And that's what you need in life, to be able to discern what is the right thing to do, what is the right picture to display here. And so ask God for that wisdom. Ask God to show you. One of the most scariest times in my life, when I can't remember how old I was, maybe 5 or 6, maybe even younger, my brother and I were giving my mom a fit. We were always messing with each other. Mom probably said, go in there and clean your toy room, which was absolutely a disaster. And why is it when you're a kid, when mom asks you to clean something, it takes all day long to clean something? It's like it probably took an hour, and seemed like it took all day. So my brother and I were probably fighting and arguing. It was driving my mother nuts. So if my mom says, I've had enough of you guys, I'm leaving. And my mom walked out the door. Now, before you call child services, she just walked around the building, right around the house, the corner. So she was standing in the driveway while we were inside crying, no, mom, don't leave us. We're sorry. We'll clean our room. We'll clean the toy room. No, no, mom. And she sat there and she told us the story later. She goes, I just enjoyed listening to you guys crying. But you know what it taught us? It taught us our love for our mother, that we needed her. There was wisdom in what she did. It seems a little harsh, if you ask me. Poor kids were traumatized, and I still remember the situation. But it's like, with such wisdom, she showed us, don't push me to that limit. Don't take me to that place. That's what you need as a mom, to be able to deal with your kids. Your kids are smart, right? They're smart, they're intelligent. They come at you with stuff, you're like, uh-oh, I need a doctorate degree to answer this child. To ask God for that wisdom and have faith in him. Listen, the Bible also says this, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. I love that. I love the fact that if we have faith in God, if we're such awe of God, if our focus is on God, it helps us stay away from evil. It helps us from doing things that we shouldn't do or are going to be sorry we've done. And so that is the beauty of our faith in God. And as moms, we need to make sure we understand that. We need to understand that our faith in God is the most important thing. There's a story in the Bible. Actually, if you put up Luke 1, verse 50, this is in the middle of a prayer that Mary, hopefully it'll come up. Is it there? Yeah. It's in the middle of a prayer of Mary. You remember Mary, she had the child Jesus in her belly, and she goes visits her aunt Elizabeth. Right? Are you there? Yeah. Okay. And as she walks into the house, she greets her aunt. And the aunt says, Elizabeth, oh my gosh, John the Baptist was in her belly, and the baby leaped when she heard Mary's voice. And so Elizabeth says to her, how come God has blessed me so much that I am beholding the eyes of my Savior's mother? That's what she says. And Mary says, has this prayer afterward because she's such awe of the fact that she is carrying the Messiah in her belly. She's in absolute awe of what God's doing. And the prayer is so beautiful. But I love this verse. It says, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Mary's sitting there with the Savior in her belly going, who am I to deserve this? God's mercy is on those who fear him, who love him, are not qualified to serve him, or not equipped in any sense. Mary's sitting there going, I am nothing. I'm a small little girl. And God has blessed my life. And the prayer goes on to just say, I'm not worthy, Lord. But God chose me. God has chosen you, moms. Listen, God has chosen you to be the mother to the children in your life. God chose you for that role. Embrace that role. Embrace that role. Faith is number one. A mother's love builds strong character. Go back to verse 25. And again, the description of this woman, we'll read verses 25 through 27 again. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. What an amazing description this is of this woman. That the fact is that strength and honor are hers. That's what she wears, strength. Now you moms, you know you need strength, right? You know you need God's strength in order to raise your children. I think about the long days and the sleepless nights. I think about the fact that you have to change stinky diapers. And the fact that you have to clean runny noses. And your babies cry a lot in the middle of the night, right? I hear these stories from you guys. And then you have family members that give your children drum sets. Don't you love that, Paula and Gary? Didn't you do that for your wonderful grandchildren? Yeah, huh? Who does that to a young mother? Obviously, someone gave them a drum set when they were kids. And I just laugh because you have to have the strength of God in order for your love to continue. Because as a young age, your kid drumming on a drum doesn't do that good of a job, does it? Thank God, Shapiro's, your guys are practiced and you're actually pretty good. That's good. But no, you need the strength from God. And that is, a mother's love builds this character in them to endure this, to endure those long days, that God's strength to be upon you. The fact that strength and honor are her clothing, it's what she wears, it's her character, it's her countenance, it's the way she carries herself. It's amazing. I mean, I can tell you, obviously I minister to a lot of husbands. And just this morning, one of the husbands says, I don't know how my wife did it this weekend. We were so busy. We had so much going on. And she was able to come here early in the morning to church and help set up the stuff. It's amazing how much strength God gives to you women. I'm the first to admit, I look at some of you women and I go, I'm exhausted just looking at you. I got to go take a nap this afternoon because you're so tirelessly working. I'm here for you. I'm trying to support you in this. You need that strength And that's what this woman had. She had strength and honor because of the love God had given to her in her heart. Listen, notice it says, strength and honor are her clothing. Sometimes we think about honoring our parents. We know that's a commandment, right? We know that God says, honor your father and mother. And in Ephesians 6, Paul refers to this in the first three verses. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. There we go. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. To honor your parents. For some of us, that's easy. We had great parents. For some in this room, honoring your parents is a difficult job because of what happened, your upbringing, the difficulty that was there. Let me encourage you in this because it's God's command. Two places in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God says, honor your father and mother. It's a commandment. In order to honor your parents, think about it this way. Honor their position, not their performance. Listen to me. Honor their position, not their performance. There isn't a perfect parent on the face of the planet. And the best parent still makes mistakes. And you parents who love your kids are trying your hardest, you're still going to make mistakes. You're going to still lash out because you're tired and worn out, and you're going to say something to your kids you wish you'd never said. It's just the way it is. Honor your mom and your dad. Honor them for what their position, not their performance. That's what this woman had. She honored them. Her kids honored her. Honor means a good reputation, respect, and integrity. This is what we all want at the end of our lives, is to believe that we're being honored by God. And as you look at this list of this woman again, this isn't a performance list. That all these ladies, you're not supposed to look at this and go, I'm supposed to achieve this, and man, am I failing. It's not that. It's a reminder that when you are raising a child in the home, all of those things, all of the difficulties, all the mundane tasks, all the responsibilities that you have, you need to rely upon God because you can't do it in your own strength. Personally, and I don't want any emails after this. Personally, I don't think this is a real woman. I don't think this is a real person. I think this is a bar that has been set for women to look to strive for. Because if your bar is not set high, guess what? We only achieve until where the bar is set. That's why I think the Bible is very clear. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The bar is set so high, it's impossible. But we strive for it and we work for it. And so as we look at this list of this perfect person, that did you know if at the beginning of this chapter, King Lemuel, his mother is the one that's writing about this woman. She is telling him, she has taught him. In fact, the first verse says this. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. This mom is saying, son, this is the woman you want to look for. If you can find somebody with most of these things on the list, you're doing pretty good. These are the goals. And so, guys, this is, again, not a list of things to accomplish. It's a goal to set, to say, God, I need your help in order to do these things. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your abilities. It reminds us, as we look at this, that when in the midst of our lives, of all the hectic stuff, God bless you, that our dependence is upon God, right? Our dependence is upon God. When you think of the life of Jesus, if you would just step back and look at his life as a man and not as the Savior and realize how simple his life was, yet Jesus lived his life honoring the Father, did he not? Everything he did was to honor the Father. Everything you do, mom and dad and Christians, must do it to honor the Father. Even in the mundane, even in the routine, even in the difficult times, we're here to honor God. And that should be our focus. A surrendered life to Jesus instead of looking at our life and saying, I wish I had something else. It is so dangerous for anyone and any believer to be looking up to heaven going, I wish I had a different life. Look, I know it's hard. Life is difficult. Life is not fair. But if we're always looking for a different life, we'll never be satisfied with the life that we have. Does that make sense? Be satisfied and be content with where you are and watch God take you to places you never thought he would take you. That is the real deal. It's not about living the ideal life, but about living the life God has given to you. That's the important thing. That is the important thing. It's building character in you. Notice it says, and I noticed this morning, again in verse 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing. Look at this. She shall rejoice in time to come. What that tells me is she's not always going to rejoice in the moment, but in time to come. Some of you older moms, you probably look back on your life and you can rejoice. You can rejoice in the life that you have because you're not in the midst of it. You're not in the dirty diapers. You're not in the mudslinging. You're not in that place any longer. You're in this place where you look back and what do you remember? You remember all the good times with your kids. You remember all the precious moments that you had with your children. You don't remember the crazy stuff. I mean, you might, Lainey, because you got a whole record of it. Last Tuesday, I was in my doctor's office. Had my yearly checkup for my heart. And the young girl that was checking me in and asking me all the crazy questions that they ask. I still don't understand why they ask the question like, has anybody abused you? Has anybody, you know, neglect you? I usually always answer, you know I'm married, right? And they laugh and I say, don't write that down. But anyways, I always get a chuckle out of that question. But this young girl, I could tell she was pregnant. And guys, I've got the answer. Whenever you want to find out if someone's pregnant or not, you never ask them, are you pregnant? Or, you know, when are you due? Never do, no, no. This is the question you ask. So do you have any children? It works every time. It's perfect. They'll either go, no, but I'm getting ready to, and then you're like, cool. Say, congratulations on your pregnancy. But never ask a woman if she's pregnant. Always ask them, so do you have any children? But anyway, back to my story. I'm sitting there, and she's asking me these questions, and I asked her, I said, so how are you today? She goes, okay. And I don't like it when someone says okay, because when someone says okay, that means they're not okay. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, if you're good, you're going to be, I'm amazing, I'm doing wonderful. If you're just okay, you got a problem. And so I go, what do you mean, why are you just okay? And she rubbed her belly. And I was like, oh, you're going to have a child. That's wonderful. She goes, oh. She goes, I've only been married 3 years. This is my first child. And she was like discouraged, like down about it. I'm like, and I can't let somebody stay that and stay in that condition. And I'm like, come on, are you kidding? That's exciting. When do you do? And she tells me in a few months, all these types of things. She goes, I'm just so tired. And that husband of mine, I mean, she just started with the husband. I'm like, what's going on with the husband? She goes, I've known him since I was in high school. We got married. We've only been married 3 years. I go, that's wonderful. Isn't that great? You love this guy, huh? She goes, oh, he's driving me crazy. I'm like, well, he's going to drive you crazy. That's what husbands do. Come on. So I'm trying to get this girl to be encouraged. And through the course of the appointment, her frown is converted to a smile a little more because I kept pushing and prodding. And I got the opportunity as I was walking out of my appointment. I saw her again. I looked at her. I said, you love on that baby. And she got this big old smile on her face. And it was so cool for me to have that opportunity. She's probably scared to death about having her first child. You moms know about having the first child, right? Don't, life's going to completely and radically change. And so she's looking at all maybe the stressful things. And I was able to remind her, you just love on that baby. You just love on that gift that God is about to give to you. And it's just amazing the mentality that women have. Some women have when it comes to their first child. Oh my gosh, my life is going to change. How am I going to be able to get through all this? With God's help, you will. With the fear of the Lord, God will carry you through and build character in you. To this day, I can remember just all the wonderful memories my mom made for my brother and I, and how wonderful that was. And that's the memories that we're going to endure. That's why I think it says, in time to come, after all the stressful times are over, you're going to remember. These were sweet times. The last and final thing I want us to see is in verse 28 and 29. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. He says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. The last thing, a mother's love is the heart of her family. A mother's love is the heart of the family. When any one of your children hurts themselves, skins their knee, falls off their bike, Who's the first person they go to? Mom. Moms make it all better, don't they? Moms fix everything. Moms can take away the pain. Moms are just good at doing that. And so your love for your children have the ability to be the heart of your family because moms are so darn important. Bill Cosby one time told this story about kids playing on football, you know, football players. He goes, the dad plays football with them, plays catch with them, teaches them how to push, and trains them up all these years, always there and coaching at every game. But when he makes the touchdown, he goes, hey, Mom. It's like, what? I trained you. It's that connection that moms have. It's the hearts that moms have. That's the beauty of it. I found out at the end of my brother's life, you all know he passed away of cancer, but at the end of my brother's life, he lived near my mother. And my mother told me that every day during the week, before he'd go to work, he would drive over to my mom's house, go inside, and they would have coffee together. And I just was so touched by how much that touched my mother's heart. She loved the fact that he would come over. Now listen, my brother ran my parents through the ringer. We don't have time to go through that. But that just showed me how important it was to my mom and how much she loved her son, even though he was difficult for many years. Just that time. That's what moms want, right? You want time with your kids. You know, when you're bringing them up, you want them to go play, all right? As they get older and teenagers, you want them to go over. But then later in life, you come on over. I will spend some time with you. Now they don't want to. That time, it's the heart. It's that moms want to be around their kids because that's their heart, is their children. My mom was always in a good mood, as far as I knew. As far as I knew, she was always in a good mood, and she could always make us laugh, and she always made life fun. The one bad trait I got from my mother is my sweet tooth. I wish she had never done this to me. But my mom, when you're young, you're naive. But my mom would always ask, every once in a while, she would ask, wouldn't you love to have chocolate cake? I'm like, well, who wouldn't want to have chocolate cake? I'm like, so as a kid, yeah. And my mom would go, magic, magic. And she'd go check the oven. And literally, I'd go in the oven, and there was a chocolate cake already frosted. I mean, completely done. Beat. I was like, wow. Mom, you're amazing. I'm sure I never asked her, is there any chocolate cake? And she said, no. It was always her springing up. But as a kid, you make life fun for your kids. Those are memories that we carry. Those are times that we have in our hearts that are just sweet, sweet memories. I have an actual a friend. He's an assistant pastor at a church. And he has a saying that says something like this. Ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. I'm like, oh, you're so thick-headed. I said, like, if it wasn't for the people, there would be no ministry. And the reason I bring that up is because I want you to think about your problems in your life. Would life be better if you didn't have your problems? Or would life be richer if God got you through your problems? Just like in ministry, people have problems. Life happens. You might be looking at your life. You might be looking at the situation you're in, and maybe you are wore out. Maybe you're sitting here at church going, Pastor Rob, hurry up. I've got to go take a nap because I didn't get any sleep last night because I was up all night with my kid. And you're exhausted. Do me this favor. Don't ask for God to get you through this season too fast, because there's going to be a time that comes in your life when you're going to look back and go, man, I wish I could have just, well, maybe you wouldn't want to change another diaper, but maybe just one more moment, just sitting with my baby, rocking them in the middle of the night. They're going to go by so quick. And I know it's tiring, but I'm telling you, your faith in God will give you the strength to endure. The love of a mother is the heart of her family. A mother's love enhances her faith. A mother's love builds strong character. Your role is so very important. Do not take it lightly, and don't ask God to make it go by too quickly. Enjoy the season you're in. That seems like counsel that we could all use. Don't don't expect life to go by too quickly, because it will. It will go by very quickly. So you moms, I want to thank you for the work that you do. And I asked 5 moms in our fellowship. Now, don't get offended if I didn't ask you these questions. But I asked 5 moms in this fellowship these questions. We're going to put up over here. 4 questions. They'll get there. There they go. What is your favorite aspect of motherhood? What is your least favorite aspect of motherhood? I probably could have answered that one. What has motherhood taught you about God? And then lastly, how has motherhood drawn you closer to God? And in a nutshell, I just love the fact that mom's favorite thing, generally mom's favorite thing, was their love for their kids. Number one. Now, these are moms that have been moms for 5 years to moms who've been moms for 38 years. And pretty much all of them said their love for their kids. Watching their kids grow, watching their kids do something they love, just love their kids. Their least favorite thing, generally the most part, was seeing their kids suffer heartache. Seeing their kids fall or seeing their kids do something that's brought them heartache or something that's happened in their life that brings them heartache. So that was the least favorite thing, which makes total sense. The one thing that taught them, for most of them, was that it showed them God's character in their children. They saw God's character in their children and their love for them, like grace and mercy, unconditional love, forgiveness, the miracle of childbirth. All of these things showed them who God was and his character. And then the last thing, how has motherhood drawn you closer to God? It drew them closer to God because they're of need for God. Their need for God. One said, obviously, they pray a lot more. The reality is, as we look at our lives, not only moms, but all of us, it is the trials in our lives that draw us closer to God. It is the difficulties in life that make us rely upon God. And it is relationships that we have with each other that reveal God's character to us. And so we must embrace these times. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you mothers, but I'm also thankful for the character that God is building in you to make you the women that you are, the women in the Lord. So I hope you have a very blessed Mother's Day, and don't forget the cinnamon rolls. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for all the moms who are here. We thank you for the love that you give to them and the love that they pour out to others. God, I pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them. I pray, God, for all of us in this room, that our love for you and our faith in you would grow stronger each and every day. Our reliance upon you, God, to change our circumstances, to move in our circumstances, or to bless our circumstances. God, I pray for that you would give us the strength to endure the trials that are coming up in our lives. Maybe for some that are going through right now. We know that you are greater than anything we are going through. So let us lean upon you, Lord, tapping into your strength, tapping into your love. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Bless the rest of our day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.